Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have also a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel, and it's under my name, Susan Puzio. And we're in our sixth year of broadcasting here on Blog Talk Radio. And how time flies when you're having fun, amen? So all the programs are archived on Blog Talk Radio, and there's hundreds of programs there that we've done over the years. So those are available if you want to listen or you would like to forward some of the programs to some of your friends. They are available there. So there was so much going on in the news this week, wasn't there? One thing after another. And still, I guess people are still reeling from the Josh Duggar revelations. Also, what really is amazing is this website, AshleyMadison.com. I never heard of it until this news came out, but it's a website for married people that are looking to have affairs. Now, imagine that. And supposedly they had 36 million subscribers worldwide. So many people are probably shaking in their boots right now because it was hacked. The website was hacked, and the people that did the hacking, they threatened the owner of the website that he better take it down, and he didn't take it down. So they said if he didn't take it down, they were going to publish the names and the credit card information of all the 35 or 36 million subscribers, which they've done. So we can expect, and I expect to, they have already reported in the news, in some of the news papers and news reports on the internet, that they will be, they're looking, people are looking especially for religious leaders on this Ashley Madison website. So I expect that there will be some very famous names that will be found out on this website, because the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And you might try to hide things from your wife, and you might try to hide things from your husband, but you can't hide from God, because God is all-knowing. God knows everything. God sees everything. So eventually, when God decides that he's going to expose you publicly, and the Bible also says that every hidden work of darkness would be brought to light, you think that you're getting away with things. Well, you're not. I mean, who do you think that Josh Duggar ever in his wildest dreams expected this Ashley Madison account information to be hacked into and for him to be found out? Because now, I like the Duggar family. I think they're a good family. I think that they're probably reeling themselves, the mother and the father and the sisters and the brothers, and especially this poor man's wife. Ugh. And they didn't know. Just a few weeks ago, it was brought to light that he had molested his sisters when he was 14, when they were sleeping. So something was going on. I don't know. I think there's so much more to this story. Either this young man was molested himself by someone. Somebody showed him pornography, because I'm sure he didn't have access to it in his house. And it's probably 14 years ago that this incident with his sisters happened, but at that time they did have computers, so I don't know if he could access things at his house. But I think somewhere along the way something happened, and he became a little bit, not a little bit, I would have to say a lot. He was, his interest in sex became like, you know, he was driven. Now imagine, this is Josh Duggar. He's on a reality television program. He moves to Washington and he's working for the Family Research Council. It's a Bible-based group that supports traditional marriage and morals, and he's working for these people. And in the meantime, he's signing up for to have affairs on the internet. And I'm not even going to repeat some of the things that he wrote. You can find that out for yourself, because it's unbelievable. But like, what is wrong with this guy? Because imagine that. You're sitting on your computer, or your husband or your wife is sitting on the computer while you're in the living room drinking your coffee or whatever, and they're applying for an adultery website, and then they're saying, he puts down everything he wants to do with these people, and then he's saying what kind of a girl he wants. Like, where's this guy's head? Anyway, how did he think he was going to get away with it? Like, didn't he think that even if he did have an affair, that he wasn't going to be recognized? Like, what is wrong with this guy? But anyway, like I said, a few weeks ago, it was uncovered. And I would have to say that it had to be God, that God wanted to get all this information out, probably to save this young man, because he's not saved. And this information came out about him and his sisters, that they didn't know it because they were sleeping, and he confessed to it when he was 14. So imagine this young man, okay? He trots out his mother and father. They appear on Fox News and they're saying, well, he was 14. He's repented and he's back on track, and we don't know of any other incidences. And then he trots out his sisters. The sisters trot out on Fox News and they say, oh, well, our brother, you don't know our brother, and this was 14 years ago. And now imagine this guy, okay? Like, he's sitting in the background, and he knows all about himself. He knows all about his life, and yet he lets his mother and father go on TV and say that he's repenting, and he brings his sisters out, and even his wife writes something about, yes, she knew about this, and she still wanted to marry him. And you can imagine how his wife feels. He's got a beautiful wife, a sweet girl. That wasn't enough for him, though. No, it's not. It wasn't enough for him. So you can imagine how she feels right now, because she had no clue that her husband was committing adultery. No clue. The parents had no clue that their son was this deviant. No, they had no clue. So, what's wrong with this guy? Like, doesn't he care? He didn't care about his wife and his children and his parents and his brothers and sisters. They were earning a very, very, very good living from their reality show. There probably was a chance that they could come back. But now after this, I don't think that anybody really wants to look at them anymore, especially they don't want to look at him. He blames it on, he puts up an apology, which, why didn't he apologize in the first place? Like, why didn't he apologize? No, he puts up the apology after he gets caught. And he says that, well, he got addicted to pornography. Now, wait a minute, okay? Like, an addiction to pornography, that's your fault, okay? That's your fault. An addiction to drugs, that's your fault. An addiction to alcohol, that's your fault. It's not a disease. It's not a disease, no. You can say no. Do you know, like, the word no? No. He didn't want to say no. No, he liked his sin. He liked his perversion. He liked all that. And he didn't care about anybody but himself and his body parts. That's all he cared about. Now, that is ridiculous. Please. I can't believe it because, first of all, you don't care about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't care about your eternal life. You don't care that your parents lost their very lucrative living. You don't care about your 18 other brothers and sisters. You don't care about the wife and the four babies that you have at home. No, you're on the internet spending $1,000 signing up for to have an affair. Ugh. Honestly, this guy, he's not alone. He's not alone. Like I said, you can expect that we are going to hear some very famous names. And I'm not going to be surprised because a lot of these people that we see on television that we call Christian television, which most of it isn't, and you see these people and you see them selling Jesus. They don't care about Jesus. They tell you that you have to give Jesus $100, otherwise he doesn't do anything for you. So anybody that could talk like that about Jesus, I can assure you, they have no morals. And they have eyes that go to and fro, and they're always looking at other women, and they're looking at men, some of them. Their eyes are full of adultery. So I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures here. Job 24:15, the eye also of the adulterer waited for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and he disguiseth his face. Boy, I'm telling you, doesn't God just, he just puts everything right out there real plain. And that's it. They do it in dark, and they think, nobody's going to see me, just like Josh Duggar. Nobody's going to ever know, because this Ashley Madison website, the adultery website, it guarantees you that the information is secure. No one will ever find out. No one will ever find out. Do you think now there's 35 million people around the world shaking in their boots today, waiting for the shoe to drop, and waiting, just waiting now to see when their wife or their husband finds out what an idiot they're married to. Yeah. Yeah. Now, back in the old days, here's a scripture from Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Oh, yeah. They didn't hold anything back in those days. But even today, that can pertain to spiritual death. Because you destroy yourself when you commit adultery. You destroy yourself. You can help to destroy the lives of the people around you. It's terrible. Proverbs 6:32 says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." His own soul. So it's nothing to fool around with. Nothing. It's a very serious, serious issue. Very serious. And don't blame anybody else. Don't blame, I was abused as a child, and you can overcome all that. You can overcome all that. Because ultimately, the blame is on you. The blame is on you because you can say no. Anybody can say no to sin. Anybody. You have to make a decision to sin because you're not a robot. And somebody takes your hands and somebody takes your eyes and somebody takes your mouth and they cause you to sin. No, that doesn't happen. No. So you have to willfully sin. You have to willfully sin. So there's another scripture. Now, this one's a good one. Also, Proverbs 6:26, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." Now, we've seen in the past many people who have committed adultery, and they lose their ministry, they lose their marriage, so then they lose their income, they lose their house, they lose their family. The wife takes them to the cleaners because she's usually furious. And it's a miracle that most men, if it is a man that's committing adultery, that they survive because the wife is usually furious when she finds out that you've been cheating on her. And we remember what happened to Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart when they were caught in adultery. Jim Baker lost almost everything he owned, and he wound up in prison. Jimmy Swaggart lost millions of dollars. He lost his position in the body of Christ. His name isn't worth anything anymore, really, because the Bible says we're supposed to have a good name, and a good name means a lot. So now when you hear the word Jimmy Swaggart, what do you think of? It always comes to us, doesn't it, that he was caught with prostitutes. And even Jimmy, he would go, and this is Jimmy Swaggart, and you can look up the pictures on the internet. When he would go and visit these prostitutes, he wouldn't wear a wig or a mustache or a beard. No, it was Jimmy. But this wasn't the Jimmy that we were used to seeing on television back in the day. We would see Jimmy, he'd have a suit on and a tie, and his hair was combed nice, and he looked neat. The Jimmy that was going to see the prostitutes, he had His hair wasn't combed right. He had a bandana on his head. He had a t-shirt on. He looked sloppy. But you still knew that it was Jimmy. Yeah. And in broad daylight, he was going into a motel to meet a prostitute. And one of the reasons he got caught is because he was having a fight with Marvin Gorman, this other minister so-called from another pimp preacher from Louisiana. And they were going at it over something, I think because Jimmy had exposed Marvin for his adultery. And so he decided he was going to get even with Jimmy. So he was following Jimmy around, and he got pictures of Jimmy coming out of the motel with the bandana and the girl standing at the door. And so then it's on video, I think, on the internet, where Marvin Gorman actually confronts Jimmy coming out of the motel. Now, could you imagine how he felt, like, when he saw that he was caught? So anyway, then it got worse from there. Yeah, Jimmy Swaggart, well, he's back. You know, he actually has his own channel on satellite TV. What's it called? Can't remember what it's called right now, but anyway, they have a whole channel, and it's Jimmy Swaggart 24/7. It's Jimmy, it's his son Donnie, and the grandson Gabriel, and Francis has a program. You see all of them, and they're back, and they've had numerous plastic surgeries. Like, you know, Francis, her face, it doesn't move, and she's in her 70s, okay, but I mean, I must admit she's got a pretty good plastic surgeon, because she doesn't look as bad as some people that get plastic surgery, like Joyce Meyer. Like, she should fire her plastic surgeon, because her plastic surgeon made her lips look like, her mouth looked like the Joker. Like, she had a really bad plastic surgeon. And Kenny Rogers, the singer, they took too much off of his eyelids, and, you know, he can't close his eyes. So that there's some really bad examples of plastic surgery, but, you know, Frances, her doctor's pretty good. But still, like, go look at Frances if you happen to look at her on TV. Her forehead does not move when she talks. And you know, when you talk, usually your face moves. But hers doesn't move, no. And either does Jimmy's. His forehead doesn't move either, so he's Botoxed up, and he's had some work done too, because, yeah, he must be 80. But anyway, God will humiliate you. He will wait until just the right time, when you think that you are somebody going somewhere to happen. And right at the height of your fame and your popularity, along comes God. And he will knock you off your high horse. Oh, you won't know what hit you. No, you won't know what hit you. No. Because the Bible says when pride comes, then comes a fall, then comes destruction. So he knocks you down. And then not only that, like, your worst... if you don't repent, like, before all this happens, before God decides to judge you, the worst things that you have ever done in your life that somebody else knows about, because usually there's another person involved, and trust me, when it comes to money, they are not going to shut up, especially if they know you have some, and you're a famous person, and they know you have some money. They will extort you. They will bribe you, and they will keep doing it until you pay them enough money to shut them up, which somebody else will pay them more money, and so they won't shut up. So they will sell you out, and your deepest, darkest secrets, God says he will bring to light. What the hidden works of darkness what you did in secret, he will bring to light. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Who wants that? Who would want that? So, it would have been a lot better for Josh Duggar to have really repented, really had a born-again experience, than for all this to happen to his life. It's much better to repent and seek the Lord and cry out to God for help. We know we're all sinners. We know we're all sinners. We know that the only reason we have any ounce of goodness in us at all is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. And it's good to stay small in your own eyes, to repent daily, not get puffed up with pride, not get money hungry and just do everything for money, and you're going to fall. You're going to fall. And when you fall, it's going to hurt. You may never get your name back. You may never get your name back, ever. Ever. I'm going to look up that scripture before we close, because I think it's in Ecclesiastes about a good name. Amen. Linda, Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen. And that's a good scripture. I have so many scriptures for you, and if I can get to some of these scriptures during the program, I will, but if you want to do a word study, and I encourage you to, there's many scriptures, and you'd have to use the King James mainly for this, because the word whore does not appear in many of the modern translations. They don't seem to like that word, but you know, God does use it. And you can look up, you can go on some of these websites where you can search the Bible, and you can look up all the scriptures on whore. There's a lot of scriptures, the whorish woman, gone a whoring, which some people have gone a whoring. Let's see, Deuteronomy 23:18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord. Thy God for any vow, for even don't bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord. And that's Deuteronomy 23:18. Proverbs 23:27, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Isaiah 57:3, but draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. So the language is very blunt, and God doesn't mince words. He puts everything in plain English for us to understand. So you can look up those scriptures, and then the scriptures, deceitful, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That was the heart of Josh Duggar, you know. I was shocked myself because I wasn't expecting this. I figured he had problems, but I didn't think he had these kind of problems. And like I said, I'm sure his poor little wife We really have to pray for her because she's probably laying in bed, crying her eyes out in the state of shock. She can't probably even get out of bed. Especially if she finds out her whole life is a lie, like, you know, she thinks this guy is one thing, and she finds out that everything about her life is a lie. I'm sure she's reeling today, as are his sisters and brothers and mother and father, who you don't know what your kids are going to do. I don't blame the family at all, because you don't know what your kids are doing. And that's why you need to watch your kids. You need to watch who they're associating with. You need to watch who you're letting them go with. Even watch the doctor, the dentist, the minister, the youth minister, the friends. You have to watch your kids, because there you can go on, especially if you go on the Pimp Preacher website, you'll see they have a whole list of this youth pastor was molesting this child, this pastor was molesting this child. So these perverts are out there, and you need to keep an eye on your children. And so, like I said, you don't know what your children are going to do. You can raise them right, and they could get involved with the wrong friends or whatever, because I know myself, I was a kid once, I was a teenager, I was a young adult. I was stupid. I was dumb. I was naive. I trusted people. You know, you just do dumb things because you're young, you're immature. So adults are supposed to know better, and we have to watch over children. So let me read a few scriptures here, because we're going to do some rebuking and some judging, which we've already done here. Titus 1:13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So whoever tells you don't say anything, you're not supposed to say anything, that's not love. I don't know what Bible they read, because they certainly aren't reading the Bible I just read to you, 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now here's another interesting one. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves, from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So we're going to talk about Rod Parsley next, and the Bible says withdraw yourself. So that means if you're in a church where you have a pimp preacher, you have a lying so-called prophet standing up there, why do you stay there when the Bible says, withdraw yourself? Don't support these people. They don't love you. 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I didn't write it. Now, the word judgment, because we hear people say, ooh, you can't judge. Judge not. You know, God gave me a mind. I can judge whether I want to wear black or I want to wear white on a day. That's a judgment. We're supposed to judge. One of the definitions of judgment is the cognitive process of reaching a decision or drawing conclusions. So when some person who has half a mind tells you that you're not supposed to judge, please stop. Just stop, okay? You're not supposed to, if somebody presents a fact to you which isn't true, well, you can't run with that fact. But when somebody presents evidence to you and it's factual evidence, it's been proven through video, through audio, or through pictures or whatever, you're supposed to judge it and draw a conclusion of whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Also, another definition of judgment is the capacity to assess situations or circumstances shrewdly and to draw sound conclusions. So we have to be able to judge. We have to be able to judge by scripture. We have to be able to use doctrine to draw conclusions about whether people are teaching us the truth. So don't let some dummy tell you can't judge. Because if you ever stop judging, you will wind up in a Jim Jones-like cult, which we see many of these ministries so-called have turned into, where they don't want you to question anything. They don't want you to say anything. They want you to come there on Sunday. They want you to pay your dues, pay for your seat, pay so you can hear them read the Bible to you, which you can read the Bible to yourself. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to a building on a Sunday and having fellowship. That's fine. But if you're going somewhere and they're charging you to go there and then they're beating you over the head because you didn't give them enough money and you didn't give them a birthday present and you didn't give them an anniversary gift, and you didn't pay for the pastor's multi-million-dollar mansion, and you won't help him buy a $65 million jet, and, you know, like, enough already, okay? I don't know. I don't know why people are still sitting in those places. Okay, just a couple more scriptures. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You can count on it. So all those whoremongers and adulterers that were signed up on the Ashley Madison website, you better get ready, because you're about to be exposed. And it could only be God. It could only be God, okay? And I'm not following any of these people around with a video camera, and I'm not sitting outside their house and watching them. That's not what I do. But, you know, there are people that do that. And so I'm sure there's people out there investigating, and just like Marvin Gorman, he got that picture of Jimmy coming out of the motel. Jim Baker, Jessica Hahn, he wasn't paying her enough hush money, and she saw how rich he was getting, and she wanted more money from Jim Baker. Otherwise, she was going to blab. And she sure did blab, so it cost him just about everything, and including, you know, he found himself in a prison cell, which I'm sure he never in his wildest dreams imagined he was going to wake up in a 6 by 10 foot room, if even it's that big, you know. Amen. So I'm going to play this clip here of Rod Parsley. Now, it seems that Rod Parsley, the pastor, so-called, of World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio. He has the television ministry called Breakthrough, and he has a Bible college called Valor Christian College, and which is sad, very sad, the way that they're teaching these young Bible school students to be con artists. Instead of teaching them to live by faith, they teach them how to sow seeds and to get blessed holy water for themselves. Now, Rod Parsley recently has brought in the very despicable character, Brian Karn, who I think the lady's name is Ashley. And you can go on YouTube and you can probably type in Ashley and Brian Karn, or Ashley Brian Karn Affair. But anyway, a few years ago, this young lady claims that Brian Karn came to her church and, you know, he was giving her the eye and their eyes met, and the Bible says, beware of someone that flatters you with their eyelids. So she was flattering him with her eyelids, and he liked the way she looked and whatever, and they wound up in a hotel. So she gives her testimony on a radio program, and she gave her testimony, and she said that she wanted to tell people exactly what the snake was like, that he pretends to be a man of God, but yet he goes and he's preaching and he's looking at the women and he's picking out the women he wants to take later on to a hotel. So anyway, her testimony is available. And as far as I know, Brian hasn't sued her, so they haven't put the, what's that order that they give you from a court? When you can't talk. Oh, a gag order. Okay. She doesn't have any gag order on her to shut her up. And so usually if you're giving a testimony about you having an affair with somebody and they haven't sued you for slander or got a court order to shut you up, then usually it's true. Then usually it's true. Okay, I'm saying that this is, I have no evidence one way or the other. I'm just telling you that her testimony is there. She's talking, she gives her name, she shows her face, and she gives her testimony. But anyway, Rod brings this guy over to his church. Now, this is the latest thing to hit World Harvest Church there, and he brings this guy Brian Karn in, and he's got all kinds of prophecies. You know, he's prophesying all over the place, and of course you have it's attached to an offering. You have to give an offering, and so usually I signed up to be on Rod Parsley's mailing list on the internet because I said I just want to see. Like, I'm going to sign up, and I just want to see how many emails I get from him, and I want to see how many especially begging emails I get from him. I want to see that. I want to see what he's going to tell me, okay? So I was getting, like, one or two emails a day from him, and here's one of the emails I got from him. Now, this is recently. And then we'll get into the news about Rod Parsley. But this was just, I think, about a week ago or so. And he says, "Dear so-and-so, a powerfully anointed word from the Lord came to me at Dominion Camp Meeting, a word I know is for you." Now, he knows this word is for me, right? When the man of God calls you and you respond with obedience rather than opposition, you gain access to excess. Oh, wow. So, you know, imagine some like half-witted person is sitting at home and they get this email from Rod, and Rod says, this word is for you, and you're home and you're by yourself and you're lonely or whatever. And here comes Rod Parsley, and he cares for you. And then he says that he's a man of God. And because he's a man of God, that if you listen to what he's saying, that and then you're going to have access to excess. So he says, I am inviting you to gain access to excess by being obedient today. Sow a seed of faith right now. Faith that the windows of heaven can be opened into your life and you can experience a miracle breakthrough in your area of need. Yes, and then, you know, he goes on and on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's something for you. There's blessing for you. There's access to excess from the very hand of God. Now, notice, you know, Rod doesn't tell you that. All I have to do is ask God. My Bible says that ask and you shall receive. I don't know. I don't see anywhere where it says in the Bible that I have to give God $5 to get access to excess. And this is the promises. Oh, sow your greatest possible seed of faith today. You know how I will put your seed to work, preaching the truth through our breakthrough television ministry and bringing practical hope to the hopeless through our Bridge of Hope outreaches. Oh, Rod, oh my goodness. Sow your seed of $50 or more, and I will send you not only my message, but every message from Dominion Camp Meeting 2015. And here are some of the great speakers that were there. Prophet Brian Karn, the man that was in the motel with the woman. Pastor Stephen Furtick. Dr. Perry Stone. Evangelist Jesse Duplantis. Bishop Clint Brown and Jasmine Skulark, which I don't know, Jasmine, she looks funny to me. Or sow a seed of $75 or more, and I will send you the entire set of camp meeting messages. Oh, now whatever the Lord leads you to sow, do it today. Don't miss out to your access to excess. You know what, Rod? That is really sad. That is really, really sad. Because right now, Rod Parsley is sitting in a hospital. He's in a hospital. And he's had 25 or more radiation treatments. And I gather it's in his throat. And I'm going to say most likely it is throat cancer. So at this very moment, as he was promising me access to excess by sowing a seed, Rod himself didn't get any access to excess. He didn't get it himself. Because I'm getting these emails, he also has a program. I think he does it every once a month or every 2 weeks or something on the Word Network, or as I call it, the Unword Network. And he said he was going to be on, I think it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Anyway, I usually look in so I get some information. Then I can, you know, do some programs about it or a video or something. So anyway, I tuned in and I noticed he wasn't there. And I thought that was really odd because Rod doesn't miss a beat. You know, there's no way that he's going to have this two-hour program on the Word Network, and he's not going to be there. And I'm wondering, like, why is Medina Pullings sitting there? And then I see, you know, Cindy Trim, the famous Cindy who brays like a donkey. And you can see the video on our brother, the Wolf Trackers Network on YouTube. Cindy Trim brays like a donkey. And she does when she preaches. She goes, and so anyway, you can see that. I don't know. Like, do these people realize how ridiculous they really are? Anyway, I'm thinking, like, wow, what happened to Rod? You know, there must be something wrong because he's not here. And so then we came to find out that through some reporting, and that on the Sunday, and you can go and look at the video yourself. If you go to iHarv TV, and it's I-H-A-R-V TV, iHarv, that's their network, the Breakthrough Network there. If you go there, you will see Rod Parsley's programs, and you can click on the on-demand, and it's Sunday, I think it was the 16th of August, and it's a 10 a.m. service, but Rod's daughter, Ashton, and she was up there in the pulpit after the singing, and she got up, and I'm going to play the clip so you can hear it yourself, and she goes on and on about, you know, they're decreeing and declaring, and he's decreeing and declaring and whatever, and you know, he's decreeing that he's healed and all that, and she reports on the fact that he is in the hospital receiving radiation treatments. So I'm going to play that clip for you so you can hear it yourself, but if you want to see the video, you can go to iHarv TV, and it's Sunday, the Sunday service, August 16th, the 10 a.m., and you can hear it for yourself. You can see her telling the people that her father is in the hospital, and he does have a throat problem. He's getting radiation. Now, you don't get radiation. Usually, you don't get radiation unless you have cancer. I don't think they want to use the word. They probably don't want to make a bad confession, although it's too late to worry about bad confessions, because I'm sure Rod was not sitting at home confessing that he was going to get cancer in the first place. So the fact that they don't want to say the word, but usually when you're getting radiation, that means you have cancer. So anyway, I'm going to play this clip, and it's about 6 minutes long. So this is Rod Parsley's daughter on Sunday, Ashton Parsley.
Well, that B.J. Putnam was able to be with us this morning. He's awesome. You can take your seats. BJ will be back with us here in a little bit. One person's excited about that. I'm excited about it. I love to worship. I love to praise God. And so do these Valor Christian College students. I tell you, I am so sad when they leave and can't be more excited when they come back. They are just an infusion of life and energy and enthusiasm. And we are so happy that they are back on campus to start a brand new semester at the School of the Spirit. Amen. Well, really quickly, before I have the honor of introducing our guest minister for today, I got a text from Pastor Parsley, and he had something that he wanted me to share with you. So we gave it to Tweet, and we said, type this up really quick and let me share it with the congregation. So this is from your pastor. Good Sabbath morning, he says. Psalm 103:1-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases. A benefit, Pastor says, is part of a contract or covenant. It is not a bonus which is discretionary and based on merit or performance. How many of you are glad for the grace of God that his benefits are not based on our merit or our performance, but based on his mercy and his covenant? Pastor says, I am absolutely convinced that healing is in the blood covenant, the same as salvation, even more so today after a thorough examination of that subject over the last 9 weeks. I can't wait to share it with you. You are just going to have to deal with a PRP voice that is 7 times stronger, wiser, more anointed, and influential for God's kingdom than ever. Do you agree? It was my plan to be with you today. However, as I have taught you over these many years, the greatest satanic opposition to your miracle always comes at the point of your greatest breakthrough. How many of you believe that and agree with that? He says, make no mistake, and this was in bold capital letters, I am healed because I was healed. According to Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24, it guarantees it in God's word. My healing and complete recovery was already provided on that cruel, angry, mean, biting beam called Calvary 2,000 years ago. It was provided then, and it shall be manifested now. How many of you agree for the manifestation of healing? Not just for our pastor, but in your life, in the lives of those of you watching. This is your promise as well. Pastor says, I have completed 23 of 28 radiation treatments with 5 left to go this week. We are not ignorant concerning Satan's devices. He has certainly intensified his attack over the last few days. Therefore, I am asking for increased prayer and fasting beginning today through Saturday night. And he said in big bold letters again, I need you. Please, as I near the finish line, know that I need your agreement and strength, your prayers and praise, your shout and dance more than any time in the last 40 years. How many of you are ready to give that unto God on behalf of our pastor? How many of you know that what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you? So if you praise and you pray and you fast and you consecrate yourself on behalf of somebody else, that same blessing is provided unto you. Pastor says, I can tell the very moment that you pray, the pain leaves, the swelling dissipates, the burning and blistering ceases, and my strength is renewed. I pray many times each day for everyone who is praying for me, that according to Ephesians 3:20, God will not only answer every prayer you pray, but that he would give you miracles you didn't even ask for. So prepare and receive now. How many of you are ready to receive that now? A right now miracle. Amen. And lastly, he says, I love you all beyond words. Thank you for loving me back, for every email, card, text, act of kindness, and especially for your prayers. Thank you for being in service and for your sacrifice in giving to make sure that we do not allow the enemy to touch me as a result or touch our finances. And he says now, lift your hands to receive this. I bless you. In the name of Jehovah Joshua Messiah, I will shout with you soon. And remember, the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for your miracle. We love you, Pastor. We thank you for this word of encouragement. We encourage you. We love you. We're praying for you. We're standing with you.
So there you go. And we'll see what the future holds for Rod Parsley. God only knows, really, because especially when you're dealing with throat, something in your throat, you don't know what the outcome's going to be. You just don't know. And I just find it odd, too, that Ashton, she calls her father pastor instead of calling him dad or daddy. Or these children are brought up to be so robotic, and they're just brought up like this young girl trained to be a clone of her father. But really, it could be the beginning of the end of Rod Parsley if he doesn't repent. He needs to repent. This time, when you're laying down there on your sick bed and you don't know if you're ever going to talk again, you don't know if you're going to lose your voice box, you don't know if you're going to live another day. This is a time for Rod to reflect and to look at his life and to look at the ministry that he's put forward to the public. And it is basically a scamming ministry. You can go back and look at any of his breakthrough programs and all the scammers he brings on, this Todd Koontz he brings on, and Steve Muncy, and Mike Murdoch, and these fleecers and scammers and extortioners. And Rod himself continued to extort money. I read to you the email that he just sent out. And most likely he sent this email out even while he was getting these radiation treatments. Even in the last few days, I've received some emails from the Rod Parsley Ministry asking for money, saying that whatever, if I gave $5, someone was matching it with another $5, and they continue the scamming. This is a time for him to examine his life and to cry out to God for mercy and to cry out to God for forgiveness and to come back. If he ever does come back from this, God only knows. God only knows what's going to happen to Rod, because he can't talk right now. He can't talk. I don't think in his wildest dreams he ever thought that this was going to happen to him ever. I don't think he ever thought that this was going to happen to him. And for a preacher not to be able to talk, someone that's running a television ministry, someone that's running a Bible college, someone that is pastoring a church, which he does a very poor job of pastoring these people, and of leading this Bible college, this is a time for Rod Parsley to make a complete turnaround. And that's the thing. If the healing scriptures really applied to him, and he's been sowing all these seeds, and he's been making all these proclamations, then he would never have come down with throat cancer. Never. Never. It's nothing but pride. Nothing but pride. My heart goes out to his wife and his children, because we know, any of us know, that when we have a sick parent or a sick friend or a sick relative, it's harder on the person that's watching them go through it. It's a lot harder on because there's nothing you can do. You can't fix it. You can try to do little things, but you know deep down in your heart that unless God heals this person, gives this person a miracle, they're not going to make it. You know that. And that whole family right now is facing, looking at that, looking at the circumstances of his illness, and they realize there's not enough money in the world they could sow. There's not enough confessions in the world that they could make to change it. Because if Almighty God doesn't intervene, there will not be a good outcome. Because nobody is going to be able to sustain that ministry. Rod Parsley's, I think he's in he was in financial trouble before this, because he was sued not too long ago, and they owed $1 million. They had to pay $3 million, I think, for this, to settle this lawsuit. And he was asking for $1 million recently to help pay off this lawsuit. So I don't see this ministry sustaining itself. But I think in the days and the weeks ahead, we're going to see more and more of these ministries being judged, and they're going to go away. They're just going to go away, because God is not mocked. You can't mock God. You can't sell Jesus. You can't sell him. You can't sell him. You cannot sell him and get away with it. There is a time that comes in someone's life when they think that they're getting away with things. They think that I'm living in a mansion, and I've got an airplane, and I've got a Rolls Royce, and I've got everything that money could buy. Until you're laying on that bed of affliction, and you realize there isn't enough money in the world that can get you better. Ask anybody. What about, you know, if Steve Jobs was here, you could ask him. The guy that started Apple is worth billions, but he got pancreatic cancer. All the money in the world couldn't save him. So I think we're in a season of God's judgment, and I don't believe the devil put this on Rod Parsley. No, I don't. I don't. They can blame the devil all they want, but I don't believe that. But I'm saying this too. I don't wish any of this on anybody. I don't wish anybody to have to go through this kind of suffering. It's suffering. Yeah, it's suffering. You need your throat to eat. You need your throat to breathe. You need your throat to talk. It's very important, your throat. So I imagine that when he comes out of this, if he does, you're going to see a very different looking Rod Parsley. And I hope and pray a very different sounding Rod Parsley, that he does not continue down the road that he's been going with the fleecing and the scamming and the selling of Jesus, because, you know, God doesn't look kindly on people that, if we really believe the gospel and we believe that when we preach the gospel that we affect people's lives, and we also are telling them about their eternity, we're responsible for what we say, if we really believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And that's what, as Rod is laying there on his bed of affliction, and God can bring that forth to him, that he is responsible for the words that come out of his mouth and for the lives that he affects. And what a responsibility it is. And not to take it lightly. Not to take it lightly. Not if we really believe in eternal life. Eternal life with Jesus Christ, or eternal life in hell. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But God only knows. God only knows. And our life is in God's hands. He is the judge. He is the healer. He is the way maker. So we'll see what transpires here. It'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But the Lord says that he gives us space to repent. He gives us a time to repent. And sometimes the only way God can get our attention, and I know that this is true. Maybe some people don't agree, but sometimes he has to lay you down on a bed of affliction to get your attention. So now, I was reading last night, and I thought it was very interesting because, you know, T.D. Jakes, to me, when I look at T.D. Jakes, to me, this man has absolutely zero charisma. I don't like his preaching style. I don't care for his the way he speaks. I'm not a fan of T.D. Jakes. I don't find him charismatic at all. I don't know what all the excitement is about T.D. Jakes. His preaching, I never even know, I can never follow. I can honestly say I've never listened to one complete sermon by T.D. Jakes, because to me it seems like he talks in circles. I don't even know what he's talking about. His sermons don't seem to make any sense to me. But he became famous with his Women Thou Art Loose conferences, and he's become very, very wealthy. And I think, too, it's only a matter of time for T.D. Jakes when God decides that he's going to judge that thing. It'll be in his time, and it'll be the way he wants to do it. But I do believe that his ministry will be judged, and probably not too far down the road. But someone posted this yesterday on Facebook, and the website Pimp Preacher has a picture in it of T.D. Jakes, and it's got the facial recognition software on his face. And the article says that today I received an unusual email on my cell phone from a member of Bishop T.D. Jakes' Potter's House in Denver. And the email stated that T.D. Jakes was offering, anyway, this Potter's House in Denver was offering for everyone to have their picture taken. But what they didn't tell people was that the software that they were using for this so-called family, free family photos from Life Touch Photography, and it was supposedly for a church directory, but the software, the person that attended the church was saying that they were curious, so they wanted to find out more about it, so the person that likes to do research, and they found out that the software was called Church IX software. And it says all they need to get started is a high resolution photo, which is exactly what they were getting with Life Touch. And so they were trying to get everybody in the church to have their pictures taken. And it turns out that this software that they were using is this ChurchFix software, is a facial recognition software, which then they put this into a computer, and it has all this information about you there, which it gathers. And we know that. I know in Tampa, Florida, they had it in one section of town. Like if you went down to this place called Ybor City and you were walking down the street, they had these cameras where they had this facial recognition software, and it takes a picture of your face, and then it puts it in the computer, and then it makes a file about you. And so, anyway, like, you know, why would a church want to do this? Why would a church want to do this? Like, who is T.D. Jakes? You know, who is this guy? And in this email, it says that supposedly there might be 7,000 people in this church. And, you know, if you look at his program from the Potter's House in Texas, that he has a huge congregation there. So if you want to read more about this, this is a good article on the pimpreacher.com website about the facial recognition software and how alarmed this member was about it. I would be alarmed too, you know. I would be alarmed too, but it's, you know, it's all the more reason why people should get out of these churches, because they intrude on your privacy, they intrude on your life, they intrude on your bank account, they want to intrude on your family. I don't know why people stay, but you can look at television and you see these places are packed. They're packed with people. I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe some people just like to be around people that are famous, and they want to go to a place where they feel like they're somebody. I don't get all that either. It's like, why do we always have to feel like we're somebody? Like, we're nobody. We're nobody. But now you have a destiny, and you have your people of purpose, and we're nobody. We know we're nobody. We know that without Jesus, we're nobody. We still are working out our salvation with fear and trembling every day, trying to stay close to God, trying to stay on the straight and narrow. We deal with our flesh every day, every day. I don't want to start thinking that, I'm somebody going somewhere to happen, and I've got a purpose, and I've got a destiny. No. No. I don't know what it is, why people feel so insecure that they can't be secure in their relationship with Jesus Christ, that can't be enough, that they have to find their security by hanging around somebody that's famous and going somewhere where someone is famous. Well, just because they're famous doesn't mean that they know what the Bible is all about, which, you know, as far as I know, from what I've heard of what T.D. Jakes has to say, I don't see a lot of Bible in his preaching. I don't. I see a lot of this New Age mumbo-jumbo, you know, psycho-babble, as they call it. And, it has to make you feel good. You have to feel good. I don't feel good 24 hours a day. I'm not... You know, I go through my highs and lows in life. I'm dealing with things all day long. So we're not supposed to feel good all the time. That's not real life. That's not real life. So I don't understand it. We're supposed to. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He says He's more than enough. We don't have to be lonely. We don't have to be depressed all the time. We don't have to be insecure. We don't have to look for a leader, because we have a leader. We don't have to go someplace so that we can be led. We have one leader that leads us We have the Bible as our guidebook. That should be enough. That should be enough. So if you're looking for some human being to give you all the answers, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Very disappointed. Very disappointed. Especially when the news comes out, and it'll come out in the next few weeks, trust me, of some of your favorite idols in the so-called ministry. When the news comes out from the Ashley Madison adultery website, it's some of your favorites. And, you know, don't backslide, okay? Like, you know, if your pastor falls or your favorite TV preacher, or don't backslide. No, because Jesus doesn't have anything to do with it. So we don't turn our backs on Jesus because of what somebody else did. I'm not turning my back on Jesus because I know what he did for me. So everybody in the whole world could fall. And I'm not giving up my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm just not doing it. Not because you had a fall. That's not any reason for anybody to fall. And even the news media, they can make a big deal out of this whole Josh Duggar thing. Oh, another Christian hypocrite. Okay, but that's his problem, okay? That has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. He had nothing to do with it. Nothing. So there could be 10 Christians in the world, and the rest of the world could be hypocrites, but I'm still going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still going to preach the gospel. I still know there's good people in the world. I still know there's bad people in the world, too. But it's not going to affect my walk with the Lord, what somebody else does, and it shouldn't affect your walk with the Lord either, because God's not going to ask you about Jimmy Swagger. He's not going to ask you about Josh Duggar. He's not going to ask you about Rod Parsley. He's not going to ask you. He's going to ask you about you. So, and that's the thing, too, to tell the news media, no, wait a minute. God's not going to, when you die, God's not going to ask you about Josh Duggar. He's going to ask you about you. So, that's a good answer to give to people that say, well, look at all these hypocrites. Yeah, well, there's going to be hypocrites. Yeah, there's going to be hypocrites. It's nothing to do with Jesus. They didn't die for you. No. Anyway, thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you, Linda, for putting up the scriptures. Thank you so much. All my listeners, thank you. And I just want to recommend a few programs on Blog Talk Radio. We have The Wolf Tracker, and then we have our brother Vince, and he has the Truth Sharks radio broadcast, and Black by Color Only. And then, of course, Rapture Ready Radio with Jackie Alnor. I recommend those programs. There's a lot of good programs on Blog Talk Radio. And so avail yourself of those. And we'll be back next week with another program, and we'll try to have some updates for you. But remember, the most important thing today is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you're not born again, Jesus said in the third chapter of John, ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess. You must confess yourself your sins. Not some priest or not somebody sprinkling water on you. You have to confess your sins yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Repent. Read your Bible. Read the third chapter of John. Read the book of Romans. God Almighty himself will give you a brand new life. And no matter what you've done in the past, you can be forgiven. You will be forgiven if you repent and God will forget your sins, and you can forget those sins and start all over again. You can start all over again. He will give you a brand new life. He did it for me. I know it's true. I know that it's true. And you can know that too. So God bless you all. And thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope you were blessed today. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it very, very much. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.